NamNab is a podcast that deals with the grisly details of a variety of topics, including true crime cases, government cover-ups, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This content is not suitable for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised.
She was murdered.
What's up, my dudes? Welcome back.
This is not a monster, not a boogeyman.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Janae.
I'm Les.
And today I have, again, a fucked up story for you. I don't know if that'll ever change.
I'm going to say, I feel like that's our intro every single week.
That's like the real name of our podcast. Right. Another fucked up story.
Honestly, that's a good name.
And other fucked up news.
Do you all find it weird that we don't cry? Let us know.
I know. I was like, I'm in a Facebook group for a couple of different podcasts, but I was in one the other day that was like, what's your limit on true crime? And I was like, fuck, I have to think about that because I don't think I have one.
You mean like
per day?
Yeah, I don't
think I have one. Like topic.
Right.
Like the thing that makes you like unable to, like you cannot continue listening to a case. I don't think I have one.
I don't know. What was the one we were talking about earlier? Oh, the Toy Box Killer, yeah.
If you listen to certain podcasts, do it the right way, you might be able to listen to it. Because I thought the same thing, and then I listened to Morbid do it. Shout out Morbid.
I'm sure a podcast, but the actual...
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, like, actually listening to the story.
Oh,
you know? Like, some people, it's, like, animal cruelty. For some people, it's kids.
I've literally watched, like, 6 seasons of Forensic Files in one sitting.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, I feel like I don't have a limit, really. Like, we talked earlier, Naomi and I did, about, like, people who were kidnapped and held hostage for like a decade.
Oh,
like that
God,
shit is really hard to listen to.
Scary.
But I still engage in it.
It's just like, it's the torture aspect. But even that, we're like,
I'm still like interested.
We're both like, wow, this is awful.
There was
tell
a couple that made me sick. Yeah. That one that Allie did.
Mary Vincent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one's rough.
Her arms. One made me sick.
So, all right. As we dive in today.
Okay.
I have a content warning, as always.
Ah.
We'll be discussing mental health issues like depression and addiction, relationship violence, suicide, and mutilation heavily throughout this episode.
Whoa!
If those are difficult topics for you, we recommend that you choose another episode. And in the links, like in the description, we'll provide resources for suicide prevention and recovery support if you or anyone you know needs it. This is the only warning I give in this episode, and hear me when I say we will heavily be discussing the logistics of suicide twice. This is a suicide-heavy episode, similar to the Church of Euthanasia. Okay, so please keep that in mind as you listen. All right, so my sources for today are Morbid, because I can't stop listening to their podcast, and eventually I'll stop doing stories they've already covered, but not today, and I'm sorry about it.
That day is not today.
True Crime Society, news.com/AU, The Age, Phoebe's Fall, Marie Claire, and Hunt a Killer. So today we're discussing the mysterious death of Phoebe Handschuck, a woman found in a trash compactor on the ground floor of her apartment building in December 2010.
What the fuck?
Since then, many in the country and abroad have debated if this instance was the work of foul play or a young girl dealing with the difficulties of managing mental health conditions who finally decided enough was enough and took her own life. We'll also be discussing a young girl who lost her life 9 years later, connected to the same man as Phoebe Handschuck. Hmm. This woman's name is Bailey Schneider. This is the part that I'm giving you that Morbid did not give you. So Morbid doesn't talk about Bailey because it didn't happen yet. So we'll be discussing that at the end. Again, while we will be presenting facts as they are presented by sources, we will also be discussing the possibility of foul play in both deaths. These are not to serve as accusations against the party who will be named later, just speculation as the cases are mysterious and one of them is still currently under investigation. I say that very heavily in this episode, and it is for a reason. The person we're talking about has connections to high courts in Australia. So I have to say very heavily that everything we discuss is speculation and not necessarily fact once we get to that point.
I'm speculating that, you know, motherfucker.
God damn it.
And JK, that he's been proven innocent in both cases.
Wow. All right.
We'll
I'm in
there.
For the ride.
We'll get there. Okay. So Phoebe Handschuck was born to parents Natalie and Len on May 9th, 1986. Later, Natalie and Len went on to have two boys, Phoebe's younger brothers. they lived a normal life, and the kids grew up in Melbourne.
Yeah,
I think that's how they pronounce it in Australia.
I could not tell you.
Because it looks like Melbourne for us.
Melbourne.
But I know that's not how they say it.
Yeah, it's like Melbourne.
Tell us, the 5% of you that are listening from Australia. Tell me if I fuck it up.
Them in the comments. Like, you fucked it up.
You're fucking it all up. Yeah, the whole thing, it's fucked up.
You're never allowed to talk about Australia again.
They're like, you even said the names wrong.
That was a good accent.
I'm just kidding. It was.
Okay. So they lived a normal life and grew up in Melbourne, Australia, in a nice house in a nice neighborhood. And Len, the father, was a psychiatrist, which becomes important later. Phoebe's family described her as adventurous, more so than the two boys. She was prone to a wild streak, but not in a bad way, like in the way we traditionally think of. She just kind of liked to do what she wanted, right? Like, she was just like a free spirit, like those kinds of things.
I went out and played with dirt.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, I climbed a fucking tree today, and people are like,
I don't wear a bra.
Great. Yeah, exactly. That kind of shit, right? Out of anyone, Phoebe was closest to her grandmother, Jeanette. And when you hear Jeanette speak about Phoebe and their relationship, you can genuinely tell that, like, it was really close. It was really cute, too. Like,
that she was loved.
Yeah. And, like, it's just cute that this, like, older lady is so connected to her, like, grandchild. Right?
Yeah.
Because I don't have that experience, it's, like, wild to me.
Same.
And we'll talk about it more as we go on.
Cute.
But around the age of 14, Phoebe began to struggle and experiment with partying and drugs. Normal teenage thing. Most
drinking.
Of us do that. Yeah.
Sex.
So to the point where she had like a fake ID and would go to clubs in Australia with her fake ID. She's 14.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, because she can fucking pass as, yeah, sure.
Right, mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. At that point, it's the faults of bouncers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you, like, look at this woman at the age of which she died, she doesn't even look, like, Phoebe Handstruck does not look like a grown woman, right? She looks like a teenager.
Wow.
I'll show you guys some pictures.
Okay.
And I don't mean that in a bad way, of course.
Just fucking obvious that she's not of age.
Right, she's definitely too young to be in this club.
Let's take a closer look at that ID.
Right. So this even includes a time where she discussed taking acid with her grandmother. Like, she talked to her grandma.
Oh, my God.
No, she, like, when she was like, okay, I'm going to do acid, she went and talked to her grandma about it. Like,
to make sure she was going to be safe?
Yeah, like, can you tell me what this experience is like? And Jeanette was like, look, you're too, like, I've done acid, which is, like, the best grandma response ever. I've done acid and you're too sensitive, essentially, is what she said. Is like, that is going to overwhelm you. I don't think you're going to handle it very well. Because Phoebe was known to be a very sensitive person.
That's a very, like, I wish that we could have more interactions like that, where it's, like, safe to have those conversations and be like,
yes,
you know, knowing you as a person, this is probably not the best idea for you, and let me guide you through this.
Yeah.
Did she eventually do it, though?
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did it. At least we tried.
I just have to, like, give this grandmother
so
kudos.
Yeah, she's,
like,
got good props.
You're fucking awesome. Mm. Wow.
Cool.
So by 15, Phoebe was using ecstasy, weed, she was drinking, and she was using speed.
Holy shit, at 15.
She even ran away from home at this time to be with an ex-con that she had met and his family.
Jesus Christ.
She's 15.
Well, how old is ex-con?
Older than 18.
Yeah.
Gross. Fabulous. Wow. Phoebe had a real wild streak.
So she
an ex-con and his family.
Yeah, his family. Like, it wasn't like she ran away to be with this guy.
What? Like, were they dating or was she just hanging out?
She was just hanging out.
What? Still not okay, but, like,
so she
interesting.
Lives with them?
Yeah, she essentially ran away to live with them because they didn't have as many rules. Mm. Is the gist that I got.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So, shortly after this, she came home. Like, typical teenage behavior, right? I'm going to run away. I fucking hate it here. Comes back 2 days later. That kind of thing.
Like, I got it out of my system. I'm good now.
Right. And that's, like, kind of the pattern that Phoebe seems to follow as a teenager, which makes sense.
That's, like, what most runaways do anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, this sounds like a typical teenager thing.
Right. And I agree with you. She was kind of struggling with mood swings around this time and ended up being put on antidepressants at 16, which were strongly discouraged by her parents. Again, her father's a psychiatrist, so it's not like he's walking into this blindly. He knows what he's talking about.
But still let her have medication?
Yes.
For depression?
Yes. So this is the common response by mental health professionals in the U.S. I'm just going to say that to begin with. Yeah. Because the second you walk in there, they're like, what pills can I put you on to charge you for?
Are you drinking and smoking weed because you're depressed? Yes. Right. Let me give you this in place of that.
Right.
Let me just give you more drugs.
Mm-hmm. Right. They give the drugs, and instead of like, here's a healthier coping mechanism for dealing with what's going on, they're just like, here's the drugs. I hope that makes you feel better. Bye.
Bye.
Right. And give me your money. I don't know that that's true in Australia. So I don't want to speak on something I'm not sure about. I know in the U.S. that's how we handle shit.
Yeah. Question. I don't know if it's an on-air question.
You're good.
Since she was dealing with all this, is this just her going through teenage stuff, or is like, has she experienced anything in her earlier life, or it's just her?
This is just her shit. This is who she is.
Her hormones are thriving.
Like, has her hormones, and she just has like a history of like depression and stuff.
Right, and that's that not history rooted doesn't in anything. Start until she's a teenager. So there's no trauma that I could find.
Okay.
If that's depression what you're just looking
makes
for,
you think life is kind of boring. Yeah.
Because I feel like that's what we see very often is like, something's rooted in trauma, and then people try and blame it on that. And it's like, no, sometimes mental health is just a thing. Because like sometimes depression just runs in families.
Or even just your environment. I was on my way from fucking Texas to Colorado, and the small towns that are there make me depressed just looking at them. Yeah. Like, oh my God. This is so... Wow.
See no the same shit every day.
From a small town, but look. It's fucking depressing.
Yeah. Well, and I would chalk this up to, like, a teenager doing teenage shit. Like, this isn't anything weird. Like, this would not raise red flags to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
No.
So, according to Phoebe's family, she became fixated on older men and fixated on being around them.
Weird.
So, right around the time that, you know, she got assigned these antidepressants, her parents filed for divorce. So, it made it significantly more difficult to move through.
So, sure, there was nothing going on in the family life. The divorce just happens randomly with no issues.
Well, and, like, when you hear them speak, like, her parents speak about it, they really didn't try to involve the children in any way. Like, I really don't think anything happened in her home.
They were being, they were just being kind of civil about it.
Right. They were like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
This is where we're at.
And, like, not to demonize divorce or anything. Right. Like, sometimes it just happens.
It just happens, and that's okay. So, but that does, like, for a child, make it difficult.
Yeah, it's difficult
to move through. So, around this time, you know, when her parents split, about 16, she started dating a married teacher in his 30s. Which I want to recognize that this is 100% on him. He's in a like a powerful position above her, therefore making it non-consensual regardless of the situation. I don't give a shit. It was not okay. He took advantage of this.
Yes.
Even Phoebe's parents say that she, quote unquote, struggled to cope with many things, stating that she was, quote, too sensitive, which is something
that's bullshit.
I think particularly on this podcast, we can relate very heavily to.
Yeah.
The amount of times I've been told I'm too sensitive
or overdramatic
for having emotions.
Yeah.
Is insane.
Bullshit.
Yeah. All right.
And I was telling Janae something about this earlier, like, I don't feel like people recognize that mental health has, like, different aspects to it. Yeah. Like, there's, like, sometimes where mental health is just mental health and it, like, can spiral. But there's also times where mental health is linked very heavily to your emotions and, like, times where you are called, like, too sensitive. And it can really severely have, like, a part in your mental health, like, depression and, like, you just feel things more sometimes.
Right. Yeah, if you have that type of person in your household, by telling them they're overdramatic, it minimizes what they're truly feeling. So you may think that it sounds overdramatic, but they are feeling that to that extent in that moment for
and
real.
And they care. Like, they care so heavily about other people and about things in their life. Yes. And then you're telling them, like, why do you care? It's
and
like
oftentimes
minimizing that.
Parents don't think that children have a grasp on real things, and that's false.
Yeah.
They do.
They have a better grasp on real things most of the time because they're more honest.
And then you can find the things in people's lies, and you get called overdramatic.
No, and like the whole time when I was reading that, I was like, oh my God, it's like I'm 16 again, and my mom's reminding me what a sensitive piece of shit I am.
Oh, you know? So annoying.
Just kidding, like, my mom's rad, but she was not the best emotionally.
Right.
Every high school experience I've ever had.
Right. So I thought, like, because of that, this case resonates very heavily for me, and I thought it would for you guys as well.
Yeah, it definitely does.
So she was known to enjoy the artsier side of life. She was a painter. She wrote poetry. She was, like, super fucking creative, which most, like, lots of depressed people are. They're creatives. Yeah. That's very common.
Yeah.
So
you would get along.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she was super into all that stuff. And she also really loved climbing, which is something that gets brought up a lot. And it does become important later.
Climbing trees?
Yeah, like climbing trees, climbing whatever the fuck she could, essentially. She was just into it, you know?
I mean,
she liked to take risk.
Teenage me liked to climb all over shit just because I could.
Teenage me just liked to go outside and fuck shit up.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Middle of the night, climbing a big ass tree in the middle of a park, being like, hey!
I'm up here!
I went up too high at a mountain one time and then got really scared to get down.
I've definitely had my friends being like, get the fuck out of the tree. I'm like, I can't. I'm terrified.
Now I got
help
scared.
Me.
It was easy on the way up.
Right. No, I can't get
catch
down.
Me.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she had a knack for climbing. At 23, Phoebe began a job as a receptionist at a salon that was owned by a celebrity stylist. Lindley Godfrey is the celebrity stylist. I don't know if either of you are familiar. I was not. Very fancy salon, though, right? Lots
yeah.
of money.
Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
To get your hair done. So at the salon, she met Aunt Hample, an events promoter who was a regular at the salon. Shortly after meeting, they began dating. And this relationship begins months before the end of Phoebe's life.
Is there an age difference here?
Oh, yeah. We're getting there.
Oh, God damn it.
Aunt Hample was 40 years old at the time.
Oh.
She was 23.
You know, that age difference is becoming more and more common. Are you guys seeing that more?
Yeah.
So,
fucking 40. Wow.
He was 40 at the time he met Phoebe. And this is the biggest part here. And I need you guys to not freak out about this.
How can you ask
just,
me that?
Just hear me. Aunt Hample is the son of a retired Australian Supreme Court judge. And his stepmother is a county court judge in Australia. Those are facts. That's just me sharing facts.
Okay.
It'll become important later.
Okay. Okay.
I'm screaming internally because I know.
I know. I know you know more than Les does.
Oh, man.
Janae has not been able to keep her mouth shut about this.
I can never keep my fucking mouth shut. That's the problem. So after 5 months of dating, Phoebe moves into the Hample home. Many around the pair said that it seemed mismatched. Aunt was someone who was very concerned about appearances, while Phoebe was a free spirit. She didn't give a shit about that. Phoebe began discussing her relationship with those close to her, and like I said, she was an artist who like my mom, who loved doing crafts and art and other things that she found comfort in.
I love this girl. Like, just listening to you describe her, I love her.
Yeah.
And I want to be her friend so badly.
Yeah. Well, and like, she was really into it, which, you know, like, crafts are fucking messy. Like,
yeah.
It's not a clean process.
No, it's fun. That's what makes it fun.
I have so many paint marks on my carpet.
Right. Like, it's not going to be this clean thing, which is what Aunt expected of his home.
Oh.
Yeah. So, her therapist even remembers Phoebe saying that Aunt was verbally abusive, quick to put her down and make her feel unworthy and unintelligent.
Fuck you.
And Phoebe shared with many close to her that she was unhappy and that she was struggling. So, like, even when you hear descriptions of how their house was, you'll hear people say that there was no evidence of Phoebe in the home. Like, it was like
weird.
She didn't live there. Because everything had its place, and she was out of place. Does that make sense? Like, there were no photos of her, like, shit like that. Like, weird.
It wasn't
her
space.
That's so weird.
Right. She moved into someone else's space, and it was obvious.
And, like, people would ask, like, well, why does she stay? And we know the answer to that is that sometimes you can't leave.
Well, there's 1,000 reasons why people stay.
Especially since he's putting her down so often, she doesn't even fucking know what she's worth.
Well, and someone who already has a problem with self-image.
Yeah.
That's not helping.
It goes into, you know, relationship violence and the cycle of violence and all that stuff.
Yes. Again, all speculation. Aunt claims that Phoebe had a long history of issues with drugs and alcohol, which is evident in her, like, teenage years, right?
Did she ever abuse, or was she just using?
I am hesitant to use the word abuse because only that person can define what abuse is for them. However, in my semi-professional opinion, I would agree that there was abuse of alcohol.
Okay.
To deal with whatever was going on for her.
Okay.
Which is common. That's a trauma response. People do that all the time.
Yeah.
But Phoebe's mother, Natalie, states that the drinking increased after beginning to date Aunt, and she thought this was due to a social anxiety that came around being Aunt's friends. Because he was so like, this is how we have to be, this is how we have to present. That's kind of where it seems like she was like under all this scrutiny and pressure in her social life.
I feel like we hear that more often.
Yeah. So she drank a lot.
Yeah.
To fit in, essentially, is what I get from that.
Yeah, we even see that a lot in social media of like, you know, I have to be this way to fit in with your friends.
Right. And while there is no evidence of physical abuse, I'd like to bring up that her increased drinking could be a trauma symptom of relationship violence that wasn't necessarily physical. So Phoebe discussed the levels of control that Aunt took in a short amount of time, including making Phoebe quit her job at the salon. Whoa. Because it was quote unquote beneath them for her to be a receptionist.
Oh, but what? She probably loved that job. What the fuck?
And she did. Like, when you like read stuff that she did, she loved that job.
And not speaking to this case in particular, but one of the things we see in abusive relationships is isolation. Mm-hmm. Speaking in the general terms.
Right. Phoebe made the struggles that were going on in her relationship very clear to those who knew and loved her, including her grandmother. She attempted to leave a total of 4 times in the 6 weeks before she tragically lost her life, only to be talked back into returning to the apartment by Aunt.
How many times? Interesting.
How many times 7. Do we see?
Yeah. Yeah. On average, it takes people in DV relationships 7 times to leave completely and be done with it. That is not uncommon.
Again, speaking in general terms.
Aunt stays firm that there was no such issues in their relationship and that essentially Phoebe was a troubled girl who couldn't handle her life and therefore took it.
Yeah, fuck you.
Oh, this is her fault. Oh, no.
She was just so weak to handle her problems. She had no coping skills. Fuck you.
But many people, including the family of Phoebe Handschuck, disagree with that ruling. So how did Phoebe Handschuck end up at the bottom of her luxury apartment's trash chute, bleeding out for nearly 9 hours before anyone would come near her possibly still living body? I say this because
9 hours?
I say this because they're not sure of when she died. Okay, there's a 7-hour gap and there's a possibility that she laid on the floor bleeding out for a long time and no one called emergency services.
What the fuck? Can you explain, not to be too gruesome and trigger warning here if you're kind of grossed out, can you explain how she was injured?
Yes, we're about to get into that.
Was she like dropped in?
I'll explain.
What the fuck?
I know what's coming and I'm still not prepared for it.
On December 2nd, 2010, shortly after 7 p.m., the concierge at the luxury apartment complex that Phoebe and Aunt lived in was seeking out a broom to clean up the lobby, something they usually keep in the garbage room. When she tries to open the door, she finds it stuck and can't get in. She gives it a hard shove and all she sees in the room is the floor covered with blood and what she's hoping is a mannequin. Unfortunately, the body she stumbled upon is the body of 24-year-old Phoebe Handschuck. Phoebe had fallen from 12 stories up, where Aunt and Phoebe's apartment was located, through the trash chute. She actually survived the fall and was only hit twice by the compactor. What she was unable to survive was the large blade of the trash compactor, which nearly severed her right foot at the ankle. This injury would be deadly, and Phoebe died alone in the darkness while she attempted to find an exit. Her death was ultimately the cause. The cause of death was ultimately blood loss. Which means she bled out. Like, her injury did not immediately kill her. She bled out.
Like, okay. I don't know if you're going to go in depth about this. Like, what happened in the trash compactor?
We'll talk about it.
God damn it.
What the fuck?
I was hoping you were going to tell me you didn't have that answer.
That is the strangest thing I have ever heard. How, like, weirdly accurate of a fall, first off. Second off, where exactly is the trash place?
So the trash underground? Compactor, yeah, is essentially, like, in the basement of their apartment complex.
Yeah, because some, like, fancy complexes have, like, those big trash chutes.
Yeah.
Where you just, like, all your trash and, like, dump them.
And it's, like, almost walk-in sized.
Yeah, the compactor?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why is my brain immediately being like Silent Hill 2 in that one part where you have to put your arm into the trash compactor?
No.
Or the trash chute to get something out?
Why?
We hate Silent Hill.
I love Silent Hill.
We hate
guys.
No. Sorry, we hate that.
And I just think about the trash chute. And every time you were discussing the trash chute with me, I only saw just that dingy room where in Silent Hill you have to go and get the fucking trash bag that's shoved in there.
You fucking drive through the deserts of New Mexico and not think of incest cannibals.
Oh, yeah. The Hills Have Eyes.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking The Hills Have Eyes. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Never mind. Silent Hill's good. Yeah.
Changes opinion entirely. Okay. So I wrote the day before this tragedy, but I think it was actually the morning of this tragedy. Phoebe sent this text message. I say Phoebe in quotes because supposedly Aunt had taken her iPhone to be repaired the morning of this like tragedy. So it doesn't really line up or make sense.
That's a very convenient lie. That's a very easy way of saying I took her fucking phone.
All speculation.
I'm pissed.
So this is what the message read. Hi, family. I'm in bed about to sleep. And when I wake, I will transform into the most incredible human being you've ever seen. I will go to the hospital. It's safer there. And I hear that the special tonight is tomato soup. Delicious. Nutritious. I love you all very much. But not enough to send an individual text. Sorry about that, but time is sleep, and I must be on my way. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. XO.
What the fuck? What is that?
Time is but sleep?
But, yeah. So time is sleep, and
time
I must be on
sleep.
My way.
Is he trying to... Is whoever this is sent by trying to make it seem like a suicide? Like, no?
Yeah.
No.
What?
Okay.
So this isn't a suicide note.
What is that?
This isn't a suicide note. And that's not how I read it at all.
Because I'm like, that doesn't sound like any normal thing anyone would send.
She, because of the drugs and alcohol, people thought she needed help, right? So I think by the hospital, what quote unquote she meant is rehab, right? That's how I read that. I didn't read it as a suicide note, and we'll get into why.
Because like that's the only reason. Like I was trying to see if like some interpretation of that, like with the sleep thing and how heavily this person harps on that. Mm-hmm. Of like that's the only way I'm like, what the fuck are you trying to say here? And it makes sense with the rehab thing, but like
the tomato soup.
It's such a weird. That's such a weird.
It's a weird text. And people were like, well, she's kind of weird, so like maybe that's fine.
I don't think I would text my entire family and be like, hello, family. I am laying in bed in tomato soup.
Right.
Merrily, merrily, nutritious and delicious.
And dreams. Good night.
Right. It's weird.
My dad would text me and be like, what the fuck
what
is
are you
wrong
on?
With you?
What kind of drugs are you on right now?
Basically. Do you need me to come get you?
So like, honestly. Here's my question. So she's on like, she's off her rocker this morning on drugs. And he decides it's a good time to get her phone repaired?
Okay, so here's the backstory about the phone repair. She went out a couple evenings before, threw her phone in the street. Okay.
But used it this morning.
Why?
We'll get there. She was drunk.
Okay.
She threw her phone in the street. And he, it was his phone. It was technically Aunt's phone that he was letting her use. So he was like, I'm going to go get it repaired. And just conveniently has it repaired the morning she dies.
Before she sends this text.
No. This is like, supposedly the time that this text is sent, he's supposed to be having her phone repaired. That is the gist that I am getting.
So
he
it's
says
supposed
that
to be
he
in
took
his
it,
possession.
He says that he took it, like, before this.
This
like
text was sent at 11 a.m.
I don't have an exact time.
Weird. I don't know why I thought that. Probably sent at 11 a.m.
I think it was sent, like, near 9.
P.m.?
A.m.
Because the phone places would open around that time, you know?
Right. And he also has to work around that time, which we'll get into the timeline here right now. So Aunt claims that Phoebe was sleeping off a drinking binge when he left for work that morning around 9 a.m. Yes.
If Aunt is so fucking high class and so proud and so yada yada, why the fuck is he with this girl who he thinks is a fucking loser? Taking good care of her and shit. That doesn't add up.
It doesn't make sense.
Sorry, I just wanted to say it. I'm like, oh, if he's so hoity-toity, what the fuck?
I think it's the, again, all speculation. I think it's the thing where abusers prey on vulnerable women.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into more later about the second girl that is connected to him. Okay.
I'm full of rage.
So, again, I'm, like, not claiming that Aunt Hample has anything to do with this. Like, he's been cleared. Like, logistically, he has been cleared. Mm-hmm. So, I am not saying that he has anything to do with this. Uh-huh. I have to legally say that.
We're all on the same page here, I hope.
Okay. So, Aunt claims that Phoebe was sleeping off a drinking binge. And the only time she's seen in public on this date is when the fire alarm goes off around 12 p.m. and Phoebe is seen outside with the couple's dog. Because the fire alarm's going off, she has to leave the building.
Why did the fire alarm go off?
It was just like someone like on a different floor. It was an accident. It wasn't real.
Shitty popcorn.
Right. So like, and when you see the footage with her, with the dog, which I'll put on the blog post on our website, namnab.com, go check it out. But some people say she's drunk in the footage, but she's also like walking the dog who's who looks like a mix who would like, if it pulled, you might move a little, right? She's a small lady. So like, I don't necessarily believe she's drunk in this footage.
If you're hungover, you're not going to take the dog out.
No, drunk.
Oh, she's drunk.
She's drunk in and this footage.
And before 12 p.m. And this is this is like how long before she dies?
Well, it depends on who you ask.
You think her
and
death
also when
happened.
She died, was there any alcohol in her system?
Yes, and we'll talk about that in a
minute. Interesting. This is very interesting to me. Why someone, I guess if you're a real deep alcoholic, yeah, you would drink some more to get rid of your hangover.
Right. Not to this extent.
Plus, if you're an alcoholic, it shouldn't impact you to this extent either.
Yep.
After this sighting, she isn't seen again until her body's found.
Wow. So, where the fuck? Was the husband home at this point? Or, sorry, no. They're not married.
No, they're not married. Her was boyfriend Aunt home? Is at work.
At this time?
At this time.
So, he went to the fucking cell phone store before work?
Yes. He went and dropped off her phone before work is the story.
But she had her phone at 9.
Which is around the time he left, is his story.
Okay.
No Phoebe big deal. And Aunt had plans in the evening. A dinner with Phoebe's father to celebrate his birthday. Aunt says that when he arrived home around 6 p.m., Phoebe's purse, wallet, and keys were on the kitchen counter, but Phoebe was gone. Along with all of this, Aunt claims to have found pieces of broken glass with blood on them on the computer keyboard when he came home. There's also photos of broken glass on the kitchen floor from the crime scene.
What is it from?
So this bitch is just so drunk she's breaking glass.
Right.
This alcoholic who's been an alcoholic since she was 15 is so messed up she's breaking glass left and right.
That's essentially the story we get stuck with. Mm. So... Aunt then orders takeout for one from the same restaurant that he and Phoebe were supposed to meet Phoebe's father at.
What?
Gets himself a beer and surfs the web. Doesn't think any of this is weird.
So is he trying to act like, oh, she just went by herself? Or like, he's
She'll
like, this is
be
fine. Her all of her stuff is here. It doesn't matter. She's fucking gone.
And he even says, like, Phoebe didn't go anywhere without her purse, so I thought it was weird that her stuff was still here.
And so
didn't
you
he just think she was in the shower or something? And here's the thing. From what I hear, her family is semi-important to her. She wouldn't miss the date with her fucking...
Yeah, exactly.
And get the fucking dinner from... That doesn't make any sense. That sounds like a fucking cover-up gone wrong and stupid in a panicky moment. Just saying.
Just speculation. Once the takeout arrives, the delivery person tells him that police are downstairs, and then the very sad excuse for an investigation begins.
What? Wait. The takeout shows up while Phoebe is not there.
Right. And he's like, yo, there's a bunch of cops downstairs.
But her
That's
death
weird.
Would have been potentially happening in this moment. What? That does not add up. You said she was there for like 10 hours.
9. But there's speculation about when she died, which is part of the reason why I say that. We're about to get there, though. So, first of all, here's my first issue with the investigation. They didn't quarantine the crime scene. What?
What the fuck? Are you fucking amateurs?
Police don't quarantine the crime scene. So Ant's apartment is crawling with his friends, his family.
Oh, that is like on purpose even, because they don't have a way to prove it's a crime scene yet, basically.
Wait,
they just
why
think
didn't
she's
they
gone.
Quarantine? Did they give a reason why they didn't?
They don't know she's murdered at this
she's
point.
Been murdered.
They don't know what's happening. He probably is leading
but
them
even
astray.
But even then, like, you feel like the...
No.
Oh, I have so many issues with the police.
You got a fucked up guy who's like... has this image in society of being a stand-up guy, fucking, you know, perfect, yada yada. Then you got his crazy girlfriend, who he's probably telling them that, like, oh, she's just drunk, I don't know where she is. What provoked the police to come to the house in the first place? He reported it?
No, the concierge called the police because she was like, there's a fucking dead body in this
so the concierge room. Calls the police before this, as Phoebe's dead, and the takeout shows up? That doesn't make any fucking sense.
I love that Les is, like, caught up on the takeout.
I'm just saying, like, the takeout is an essential fucking clue at this point, because how could she fucking order it?
Well, and he ordered it.
Oh, now I understand. Yeah, sorry, no, I thought he was saying that Phoebe had ordered it for herself.
No, which is weird, right? Because, like, he orders for one
and
to
the
restaurant.
From
the
same restaurant
that
you guys
were
supposed
to
go to?
That's weird.
Together?
Yeah.
Were you going to say there were leftovers and you guys actually did go to the fucking dinner?
Right. So, yeah. My first issue is that they didn't quarantine the apartment.
I hate this.
Then the coroner determined that Phoebe had gotten into the garbage chute feet first on her own accord and ruled the death a suicide.
How do you determine it's of your
the
own
coroner?
Accord?
The coroner! The coroner! Put his two cents in. It was like, nah, she just slipped herself into that. No problem. What?
So, he claimed that she had gotten in between 12:03 p.m., which, like I said earlier, 12 o'clock, she's seen on the cameras. Right? Between 12:03 p.m. and 7 p.m. Sometime between there, she got in there, but I can't figure out where.
Yet, I know she did
but
so
I'm a
on
fucking
her own
coroner.
Accord.
This okay,
is it's just my job to figure this that out.
Can't they go back and like figure out exactly how many hours somebody's been dead?
Yes. And how the fuck does that line up, my guy? If she was seen at 12 o'clock, you're saying that she fucking died somewhere between 12:03? That doesn't make any
I'm going to show you guys this now, and since this isn't visual, I apologize. Go check it out on our Instagram. We'll have pictures up there at Not a Boogeyman.
Or on namnam.com with all our blog posts in case anyone also prefers to read our episodes or follow along there with photographs. Go there.
So I'm going to show you guys pictures of the chute that Phoebe Handschuck supposedly climbed into of her own accord. She went in feet first. Okay. This is the chute that she supposedly climbed in on her own accord and threw herself down 12 stories.
That thing's fucking tiny.
It's very small. Again, encourage you to go look at our Instagram.
But you said that
website.
She was a petite girl.
She was a small girl. Yeah, she was a small girl. However, that's going to take some rigging to get into.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to just hop in there. All right. My fat ass would not fit in there. But someone like her size could,
but
right?
Also, it's like a very complicated. Like
it
you
looks
have to scale the fucking wall to do it
to get in there.
Yeah.
And
also, if they're fucking ruling this as a suicide, that is not a logical way to fucking kill yourself.
Yes.
Just saying.
We'll get into that in a minute because I feel the same way.
What's the measurements on that trash chute for anyone that's just listening?
I believe that it was like a foot and a half by like 8 inches. Like it's small.
Like your shoulders, even for a small person, your shoulders are going to have a hard ass time getting into that.
Or getting into that legs first.
Yeah.
That's
it gets more mysterious. It gets more mysterious.
She couldn't have climbed the wall. Like it's just a wall, my friends. That would mean she'd have to put one leg in that high up on the floor, pull herself in.
Yeah, this was like mid chest level on some of those people in that picture, right?
And oh yeah, we'll
girl,
talk about the people in that picture because
what
people
the fuck
who
is that
knew
people in those pictures? Yes.
Phoebe Handschuck.
Oh,
we'll
really?
Talk about it. So when discovered, Phoebe's pants were actually at her knees, but the coroner determined that there were no signs of sexual assault, which means she went down that chute with her pants around her knees, or someone came in there and took her pants down.
Really?
How would you be able to do that
how
if
did you
have
get
to pull your leg upwards with your pants around your knees?
That doesn't work.
What? This is making me sick.
The coroner also found that there was a sleeping pill in Phoebe's system called Stilnox, which is similar to Ambien.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also a blood alcohol level of 0.16, which is twice the legal limit in the U.S.
You wouldn't even need a fucking sleeping pill at that point, my friends. You wouldn't. You would probably pass out at that point on your own.
And that's three times the legal drinking limit in Australia. And I would just like to note that similar to Ambien, Stilnox can make people do things that they would normally do, but in their sleep. So walking, eating, even driving your car has been reported.
Wow. Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah. And that's common with Ambien, too. Like, that's not an uncommon
situation. Well, mixing it with alcohol can't be better, I admit.
Oh, no. I'm sure that would make you pass out, though. Like, that combination would make you pass out
and
instead of, like, let's fucking walk around the apartment complex and climb into a trash chute.
Exactly what I was saying.
It's just making my stomach turn.
Climb into a trash chute with my knees around my fucking my pants around
my
knees.
Yeah,
an already difficult task. Sober and without my pants around my knees.
Right. So police were quick to rule this as an open and shut suicide case. They didn't want to discuss it further. She killed herself. That's it.
Less is under the table.
We've upset her enough that she is now under the table.
It's so fucked up.
God, so, but Phoebe's family, including her grandfather, Lorne Campbell, a retired homicide detective who had served over 30 years, didn't and still don't believe that police did their job in the case of their beloved Phoebe.
Because they didn't.
Lorne Campbell was quick to become involved in his granddaughter's case and found that many things simply didn't add up. There were no fingerprints on the stainless steel chute door on the 12th floor, which, like, if you own a stainless steel fridge, touch it and tell me
there aren't fucking fingerprints.
Yeah, I
would
can't
be
keep
no
the fucking
way
fridge
for her
clean.
To fucking, you guys are basically telling me right now that she's like Spider-Man and able to scale the walls.
Just sticking to the wall, baby.
Basically.
Like,
without fingerprints. Without fingerprints, mind you. This drunk off her ass, barely cohesive person
with her pants around
her pants around her knees
is Spider-Maning up this wall and just climbing into
so
that
grandpa
thing
knows something's wrong.
Yeah, so grandpa essentially was like, yo, this has been wiped clean, this is weird, which is exactly what that
is. He one of the
me.
People in that picture.
Yeah,
cool.
He is the older gentleman standing off to the
in
left.
The blue.
Yes.
Hell,
that
yes.
is her grandfather. The
also
people
I'm sorry
in the chute
yeah.
are her friends who were like, I don't believe this
can
shit either.
They, so did
that
they
must
ever
be terrifying to be like, let me just
did they, were they able to do
quick?
It on their own when they tried?
But it took finagling, right? Like, it wasn't as easy as the coroner and the officials made it out to be.
Are there not cameras in this apartment complex?
Oh, we're about to get there.
Oh, Janae!
She's back under the table.
I just can't.
The CCTV footage from the day of was never collected. And there was
what?
There was no collection of the electronics in the house, even though they could have provided some insight into Phoebe's disappearance.
Explain.
Alexis walked the fuck away.
Police, explain.
Yeah. So, essentially, even their, like, apartment manager was like, it's kind of weird that, like, are you sure you don't want this DVR full of footage? Because I can give it to you. And they were like, we'll come back later. And then it went missing.
Oh my god.
Suspiciously gone.
You know, I just couldn't imagine someone accepting a large amount of money from someone to cover this up. And you said at the beginning of this episode that this man has friends in high places court-wise.
Oh, he has parents in high places.
Oh my god.
I'm back at that point where I'm so full of rage. I can't even speak, and I want to say so many things, and I don't want to get us in trouble.
I'm going to have a brain.
It gets worse. I'm having an aneurysm
no!
right now.
Phoebe's phone,
I'm
the
having
iPhone.
A fucking stroke.
Oh, yes. What about
okay.
this iPhone?
So Phoebe had two phones, essentially. She had the iPhone that Aunt had let her borrow, which was her primary phone. And then she also had, like, one of those brick Nokia phones.
Nice.
You know?
Tetris.
That phone was never found. And the
what?
SIM
the
SIM card for her iPhone was also never found, even though what? Police specifically told Aunt to hang on to it just in case they needed it.
Oh!
There were large footprints found leaving the apartment that were never tested, even though every person that came in and out of this complex, you had to, like, scan, like, a fob to use the elevator, to enter the complex, any of those things, right? These footprints are leading out from the trash room.
So it's one of those, like, apartment complex where it's like, oh, this is super secure, super safe. We have all the security measures. We have all these, like,
always the worst cameras. Ones.
Yes. And they yet none of it kept her safe.
Right.
Literally none of it was used to keep her safe or prove the fact that this was fucking murder.
And not at the fault of the property manager. He was very willing to cooperate with police.
It's the police. The police didn't do fuck
dirty
all in this case.
Sons of bitches. Like, I want to cry. Like, this might be the episode where I cry.
Why is this case one of them where I'm, like, so upset at the police? Like, we've been in cases where the police are more involved in the actual murder. The fucking Sherry Rasmussen I just talked about.
What would be the benefit to cover this up?
Oh!
Erin Campbell, her grandfather, even met up with two of Phoebe's friends and tested the ability for a person to get into a chute on their own safely with harnesses, which is rad. Again, rad. Pictures on the Instagram. He concluded that it would have been very difficult for anyone to do that. And these friends of Phoebe's were totally sober and in great physical shape. So the family was certain of foul play, and they even decided to spend $50,000 on opening an inquest into Phoebe's death.
You fucking
that's like
assholes.
An appeal, yeah. Essentially.
Dude.
Of the ruling.
What? Like, $50,000 for this family to get maybe, like, some effort in the case?
Because you didn't do fuck all the first time.
Oh, it gets worse, y'all.
We need to stop using that as our tagline.
After her death.
Sticker soon.
Yeah, sticker soon. Look out for those. After her death, Ant made himself the next of kin for Phoebe. So essentially in Australia, you can file for next of kin, even if someone's parents are alive, as long as they don't have kids.
And you're not married?
Right. If you have a quote-unquote de facto relationship with someone, you can file as next of kin. This is not something that I knew, and I don't know the Australian legal system in and out, so if you guys have more...
How long have they been dating at this point?
About 18 months. But they had been living together for a significant portion of that time. If you
that
guys know
like
more...
That seems like such a short time.
That sounds like something really fucking interesting to do after...
Sounds like putting yourself on somebody's insurance.
Death.
Yeah. And, like, if our Australian listeners know a little bit more about that, I'd be very interested to hear that.
Yes, please educate us. We're just Americans.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me, guys.
Right. Like, if I died, like, Clay would get my shit. If not, my parents would get my shit, and that's it. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
But you and Claire married.
Well, not legally, though.
Still.
But still in a common union.
Yeah.
True. So... the courts allowed it because he was in a relationship with Phoebe, and even if it lasted roughly a year, 18 months, they still counted it.
You're telling me the courts allowed this after zero... Okay, I'm serious, you guys. Like, even in a suicide, again, triggered, but even a suicide that happened closely in our life, even though it was clearly a suicide, the... person who the person was dating still got investigated. Yeah, like, how could in this situation there were no investigations on Ant?
What the fuck? I'm just like, I'm mind blown by everything that is happening in this, because none of it makes any goddamn sense any other way. And, like, why weren't the police doing the basics of, like, let's get, like, the property managers were like, please, we have all this information we can give you. And the police were like, no, we're good.
Or make it
don't
into
worry
a crime
about
scene.
It. Or like, no big just deal. Fucking, like, they didn't section off anything, even though there's a dead girl in the fucking
or
trash
is
compactor.
Not a person of interest, even. Not even a person of interest. You're not even going
like,
to ask him.
They didn't even quarantine his apartment, even though there's a dead girl in the trash compactor that they know lived there.
The police just go there. First up, nothing. And her keys are there.
Why quarantine it? It was a suicide.
Oh! Even the suicides are quarantined all the time. You get the fucking crime scene tape anyway.
It's not that hard. Just get the crime scene tape and put it over a fucking door.
No, it's not a crime scene.
Your job is not that hard.
You guys are just going to get more and more angry with Aunt Hample the more this goes on.
I'm reaching that point of almost tears, but just like angry tears.
When you hear
because
how
this girl did not deserve what the fuck happened to her.
When you hear how he treated her fucking family after she died.
Oh, yet he's next of kin.
You mean
that's,
there's more?
Yeah, there's more.
So,
let's hop back into it. Hmm?
No, no, I quit. Stop. I quit this podcast.
You can't
right
quit. Now. You have
quit
to listen to it.
I quit it.
It's just that so depressing to me that there have been multiple cases of this where these guys are out. Like, they're out and about living up their best lives.
So there was nothing that happened here. Let's just look away.
Because of his position as next of kin, Phoebe's family was not allowed to see records from the autopsy or receive updates
what?
On the portions that
what?
Involved Phoebe's body.
Wait a minute. I didn't realize that was this fucking what?
I thought it was just maybe he gets her shit. I didn't think it included that.
Before the family, they weren't even married. This should be reversed now. I hope that the laws have changed. No, really? Okay. I currently have a bomb exploding inside my tummy in the middle section near my belly button because I'm so upset. Like, I am so upset.
Oh, keep getting upset because, yeah, not only did they not receive records from the autopsy, he straight up told the family, like, I can't identify her body because I don't want to see her like that. You go do it. Even though I'm the next of kin.
Oh, my God. So he just wants to cover his ass.
It gets worse. However, he did, quote unquote, his words, not mine, allow Phoebe's family to keep her ashes once she had been cremated. And he didn't invite Phoebe's family to the memorial that he held for her, one that friends say didn't even feel like it was for Phoebe. The family held their own memorial in which they sent Phoebe's spirit off like a Viking ablaze on the water. They straight up made a fucking boat, put it on a river, and they were like, she's a goddamn warrior, sent her off.
Good.
Beautiful.
It's what she deserves. Yep, this is the episode where I'm going to fucking cry. I can feel it.
So the inquest into Phoebe's death began in 2013. She died at the end of 2010.
Took 3 years.
What?
Because the family had to file for an inquest.
Fucking
kind of thing.
Shitheads.
So I thought it was the police being like, no. Nah.
Oh, no, you're going to be equally as angry, so don't get your hopes up.
Oh, fuck.
This involved the testimonies of those closest to Phoebe in her final days and hearing from the coroner again. Aunt participated
the
in
shitty
this
one?
Inquest.
Huh? Yeah, the shitty one
coroner?
Who was like, this is a suicide,
yes.
Exactly, shut up.
The
no
coroner that didn't do their fucking job?
Yes. So, Aunt participated in the inquest against his lawyer's wishes. His lawyer was like, dude, do not fucking do this. And he was like, I'm going to do it anyway because I can get away with whatever. Like, it makes me wonder, like, well, why didn't your lawyer want you to be involved if you had nothing
to
hide?
Yeah, if you had nothing to do with it.
That's interesting that your lawyer would advise against something that could clear you. Hmm.
Takes a long sip of your drink.
So, though he participated, Aunt tried to block the inquest at many times. The family says that they weren't even looking at Aunt as a suspect. They just wanted answers on what happened to their daughter.
Oh, I would immediately be looking at him like, excuse
they're
me.
The first suspect in every case.
Right.
He is a suspect.
Yeah, the partner every time is a suspect.
Always.
Yeah. So,
at least here.
At least in real cases, not like this one.
Despite everything we've heard today, the coroner makes the final ruling that Phoebe's death is a suicide.
No! You fucking dickhead! It's not his job to do that. On what grounds did he prove that this was a suicide? How? Tell me how. You're saying she...
He claims that Phoebe got herself into the chute in a quote-unquote sleepwalk-like state and tossed herself to the bottom of the chute. But if...
would it be suicide at that point, or would it just be an accidental death?
If it's
suicide.
Intentional, it's suicide.
Anything you rule
even
out.
Though she's like under
yeah
the influence of
anytime
this
they
medication?
Consider you are at fault for your own death, it is ruled a suicide. That's
or
why
an accident.
Right.
Exactly.
An accident.
Why wasn't this an accident?
So this wasn't
why
an
were
accident
they trying to make
eyes?
It so
no,
much of a
suicide.
Suicide?
Straight up suicide. She killed herself. Not an accident.
On purpose.
She killed herself
with
on
the
purpose.
Intent
even
to kill
though,
herself.
Even though
she was drugged.
Even though she's drugged and she's doing this in a
sleep-like
state, like, that's not an accident to you? That's a fucking suicide?
And also, just statistically, women, the drinking and the pills would have been enough for a woman. they usually choose that as an easier option, especially if she had it at her fingertips. And, like, also, there are signs for someone who wants to kill themselves intentionally, and there were none at this point.
Yes, that's where I was going.
Yeah.
And also, women tend to choose less violent ways, methods of suicide. So it doesn't really make sense that she would launch herself into a trash compactor to kill herself.
Yeah. Especially in a sleep-like state. She would have been probably, like, passed out on the couch if that were the case.
Yeah, and Janae and I had this conversation again earlier of, like, this is not the typical way that someone would commit suicide. Like, this is
a painful option.
This is a painful option. If, like, this is not.
Also not instant. Like, not effective. It's not effective in your goal.
No. And, like, most people who are looking to kill themselves are going to kill in the quickest, most painless way possible. So why drag it out? So, but even in good shape, and sober, people struggled to get in there. Her friends that tested this. So how exactly was Phoebe how exactly was Phoebe able to do it? And how was she able to do it without leaving fingerprints on the stainless steel of the chute?
They just ignore that question.
Down.
So I actually talked about this with Clay because he runs a trash compactor every day for work, right? So my partner is a maintenance worker for an apartment complex. And, you know, I asked him some questions about, like, safety mechanisms that come with trash compactors. And what he told me, at least in the U.S., a lot of them, you have to manually press a button for it to work, for it to run, right? Or some of them, even, like, the one at our complex, you have to press a key in and turn it for it to work.
Otherwise, it won't work. Every time I've seen it, that's how it works.
I don't know if it's different in Australia, but I highly doubt it. So to me, that says someone would have to be down there to press the button to kill her when she fell. Right?
So that's what happened, is that...
Maybe.
But how would she be able to get it to work otherwise? We don't know.
We don't know, because I don't know, like, the make and model of the trash compactor and
this
and all
is something
things.
That should be public knowledge by this time if you fucking investigated that.
Right. So, it just doesn't make sense, right? Like, it just doesn't add up. One of the focuses of the inquest is that Phoebe liked to climb things, a fact that was used to prove that she had climbed in there herself.
The Spider-Man style way.
Wow, we got
just
full
super fucking
Spider-Man.
Like, badass at climbing. Squirrels. You fucking idiots. There's nothing to climb on here. Okay, there has been proof that rock climbers can develop that skill to climb a wall.
Yeah.
But you would have to be like, prime,
like pristine physical,
like
condition.
Clear mind, pristine physical condition,
which is if she's drinking as heavily as this suggests, there's no way.
And then somehow she used her spidey web to turn the key on the outside of the fucking trash compactor. It's what I'm understanding. Jesus. The officials have decided.
Apparently. So they focus really heavily on this at the inquest.
She's just such a great climber.
It makes sense that she didn't die that way.
There was Spider-Man in this case.
She's just such a great climber, despite how drunk and fucked up she was, enough to do this.
I didn't know Peter Parker had another alias.
It's Phoebe Handstrap.
This is just another story in the Spider-Verse, in other words, is what they're telling me. Gone wrong.
Okay. So the family, unable to afford to lose an appeal if they didn't appeal the verdict. They actually consulted a lawyer who did specifically appeals of these kinds of verdicts, and they were like, yeah, but if you don't win, it's going to cost you $120,000.
You know who can afford it? You know who could afford this? No problem.
Like,
Aunt.
To the lawyer?
Yeah.
No, the lawyer said general. That to Phoebe's family. Yeah. Like, it's going to cost you $120,000 if you guys don't win.
Yeah.
So, like, is it really worth it?
Yeah, because Ant could have done that no problem.
Right.
He could have fucking paid for that speculation, which he should be fucking wanting it. So you're telling me he just has no problem with the verdict of it being a suicide? It sounds like her from his ideas is what I'm understanding.
He plays it up. Like, there are some recordings that I can't play here and won't. But there's some recordings that Phoebe's mom took secretly of Aunt and his family when she went to meet up with them, and all you can hear is like she was just so troubled.
Oh,
I was trying to help her, and she was just
piece
so
of
troubled.
Shit.
I'm a savior.
Yes.
Oh my god! And look at how much attention you get out of this. It probably turns you on, and how much attention you're getting out of this.
So part of this was the financial issue of how much it would cost them if they lost the appeal. But the other part is that Phoebe's family struggled to find someone who hadn't been in contact with Aunt's parents at one time or another. They believed that they couldn't get an unbiased appeal, so they chose to stick with the ruling. Unfortunately, this is where Phoebe's story ends. And even with the fishy circumstances, authorities continue to push the narrative that Phoebe ended her own life, and it remains one of the most mysterious deaths in Australia's history.
It's not mysterious at all. It's all right there.
Now I'm going to lead you into the story of Bailey Schneider. This is going to be significantly shorter, as most of this episode will be taken up by the Phoebe Handstruck case.
My question, too, is like,
yeah,
say this was foul play.
Sure.
That wouldn't be a logical way to kill someone either.
I don't know. People have put people in a trash can bag or in a fucking
wood chipper.
Which we'll talk about at some point. People kill each other in mysterious ways. So,
I mean,
well, and like I said, like,
people are fucked.
She didn't die from falling into the trash compactor. She died because the blade hit her foot and severed her foot. She bled the fuck out for hours
and
alone in the dark. And the evidence suggests that she tried to get out.
Yeah.
And she couldn't.
And like, did she cry out for help? Did anybody hear her?
Not that anyone reported, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Also, why was the person that went in, like, the door was jammed? Was it because her body was up against the door?
Yes.
What?
So she almost got out.
Yes. Of the compactor area. Of the room itself? Yeah.
Because she got out of the trash compactor eventually.
She fucking crawled her way out of the trash
compactor.
Why
would someone trying to kill themselves do that?
Why would they try and leave?
That's my question, too.
And also, why would you choose a trash compactor? That's crazy of how much alcohol and drugs were in her system that she was still able to climb out.
I imagine you sober up real quick.
Well, I mean, it's the fucking survival instinct, right?
Yeah. Like, even when you're in...
That overrode whatever was going on. In my head. That's how I see it.
The amount of adrenaline and stuff that starts shooting through your body is, like, fighting to survive.
Yep.
And that would be such a specific way. She would have no way of knowing that she was going to sever one limb that she would bleed out from. If you're saying she expected to die from the fall itself, she would have done it outside. Right? She wouldn't do it from the fucking inside of a fucking apartment complex down a trash chute. If you're gonna jump, you jump from a fucking balcony or whatever.
Well, and let's say for some reason that you actually were gonna use a trash compactor as the means of suicide. Why would you jump down a chute? Why wouldn't you just go down to the room
and walk in
and walk into the thing and just go into the trash compactor?
That's scary.
The whole thing is scary.
The whole thing. Hey, I'm not arguing with you. I don't think she killed herself. But
I don't think she did.
These are the theories that people put in place. Why would you do that?
So that would be too scary, but it would be too easy for her to kill herself with her pills.
Doesn't make sense. Anyway, what's next? So
what else? What bullshit with me?
Next, I'm going to tell you the story of Bailey Schneider. Bailey Schneider was a 25-year-old model and dancer living in Melbourne at around 2018. So this is pretty recent.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Whoa. And almost exactly like...
Oh, we'll get there. So if you take a peek at Bailey's social media, which is still up and active, you'll find a beautiful girl having fun, living life, and photos of her and her boyfriend, Aunt Hample. In June 2018, Bailey's parents would come home to a sight that no one should have to see. Their daughter slumped over the kitchen floor with a gold rope around her neck, dead.
Oh, fancy that. Another suicide. Wow. Why is this man getting such troubled women left and right? A golden rope around her neck in the kitchen?
Okay, let's start off with the base one.
Of the handle? Or like of the ceiling?
They just like found some like rope in her room and they determined that it was the same rope that she hung herself with. But it was like a cord. Like a cord instead of like thick rope, a cord.
And what? She hung herself with this, but it wasn't assembled when they walked in. She was fucking choked with this, in other words.
So, did you have a question?
I was gonna say, let's start from base one. Did she have depression?
Oh, we'll get there. So when Bailey's parents left that morning, Bailey had been sitting on the couch with the family dog on her phone. She was talking like pretty intently, but they couldn't really hear what she was discussing. While Bailey's parents were out at the store, Bailey had a glass of wine and a cigarette and listened to something on her Bluetooth speaker before she died. She did not leave a note. Neither did Phoebe. And Phoebe was like a writer. Like we talked about that at the beginning. She didn't leave a suicide note.
Not to mention that fucking weird ass text in the morning that made no sense, which I kind of took as a semi-suicide note.
Sure. Yeah. I could totally see that. The evening before Bailey's death, she had been out at a party with boyfriend Aunt Hample where they argued. While they had been dating for 9 months, Hample and Bailey kept a low profile about their relationship as Hample had just ended his marriage. According to those closest to her, Bailey was struggling in the months leading up to her death, including issues with mental health and substance use, similar to Phoebe.
Didn't see that.
While these were struggles, Bailey's family has struggled to cope with the loss of their daughter, friend, and sister not being able to believe that she killed herself.
Yeah.
3 weeks before her death, Bailey took out a life insurance policy on herself. I was unable to find who was named the beneficiary in this policy, so I don't have that info for you.
A 25-year-old took out a life insurance policy on herself.
Yes.
For, as a dancer, you said she was a dancer?
She was a dancer and a model. So, like, she stripped, and then she was also a model.
Oh, she was a stripper?
She was a stripper, yeah.
Oh, what? Okay, okay, so...
Okay, did she like start a new job or something during this time frame? So is that the only reason why I can think of, like, maybe insurance became a thing for her or
So she started the dancer job like it was around the time she met Hample.
Okay.
So like nothing is that was where different.
He met her?
I'm not sure. I don't have those logistics. Before her death, Bailey came home in the early hours of the morning upset. She then received a call, walked around the front of her house, and left with a man in a car that none of her family recognized. And her brother actually, like, corroborated the story. He saw her walk out to the car and leave with this person that, you know, he didn't know. Hample received a concerning text from Bailey and had contacted her sister. Bailey shared with their sister that she had been sexually assaulted, even attempting to report to authorities.
By who?
Later, Bailey withdrew this complaint and would no longer press charges.
I couldn't imagine why. You know how hard it would be to report someone who might have fingers in the system.
Bailey didn't want Hample to know about this attack. And those are like her words to her sister. The final post on Bailey's Facebook page, posted June 15th, 2018, just 5 days before her death, reads as follows. How about it's just not okay to assault and murder women? How are women supposed to come forward about rape and assault when the police make comments like this and victim blame? So this post was actually in response to a female comedian who had been raped and murdered in the Melbourne area at the time. During this time, Melbourne authorities encouraged women to stay inside to reduce the risk of victimization.
Wow.
2018, y'all. We still out here victim blaming.
Maybe you just do your fucking job and arrest the people that are doing this.
Which is trash. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you're wearing, how drunk you are, yada yada. So when autopsied, officials found that there was some cocaine in her system as well as alcohol. The alcohol makes sense. She had a glass of wine. The cocaine was apparently from a party beforehand. Currently, her death is under investigation as a homicide, and this is where I leave you. I have no other information about Bailey Schneider or the case, because that's all that's been released to the public.
I bet you we're going to have to fucking have a follow-up update on this, because watch nothing happen. I'm surprised that it's even being investigated as a homicide.
It took them almost a year to make that decision.
And also, like, wait, what? So the timeline was... So nobody saw what happened to her after she got into that person's car, but somehow she ended up home again?
So essentially what I'm understanding is that that party was a few days before her suicide had taken place. Suicide Homicide. Had taken place. Yeah.
Quotes.
So all they knew is something had happened to her, right? And she didn't want to come forward anymore.
God, I hope. Oh my God, dude. This is fucked up.
It's just a coincidence.
Yeah,
it's just such a heavy coincidence that he is in both of these cases.
I hope this gets ruled a homicide, and that you know who gets fucking is responsible for it, and that they reopen Chelsea's case.
Phoebe.
Sorry.
You're good.
Chelsea, Phoebe, Kaylee.
Names. But yeah, so here's a reminder that things aren't always what they seem, and check in on your friends, because you never fucking know what's going on. Either from a relationship standpoint or a mental health standpoint. Take that whichever way you'd like.
If someone's getting isolated in a relationship and they aren't responding to you, you might want to take note of it at some point so that there were records. Because here's what's frustrating to me is that in Phoebe's case, her phone was taken, but where are the conversations between people she had as evidence?
He lost her SIM card.
But what about the other people's phones, you know?
True.
Yeah.
True. That's fair.
And, also, there are signs before before suicide. Yep. And, there's, lots of different signs that you can keep an eye out for. And, I personally did not see any of them in these cases.
How common is it for those, steps not to be followed, those processes?
What do you mean?
The signs?
Yeah, the signs. Before.
It's super not common. Yeah. People will make some kind of hint, whether it's, I'm giving all my shit away.
Yeah.
Making a very comments.
A rise in attitude. They suddenly get a lot happier, a lot better. Yep. And unfortunately, this is something also, if somebody goes on antidepressants, it's something that's one of the warnings that people you'll see on antidepressants. They're may increase your risk of suicide, and people don't understand that. They're well, that doesn't make sense because they're antidepressants. It's because it's raising your energy, and then you have the energy to go through with those actions that previously you may not have had. And people don't understand that you suddenly get that energy back. And if you notice that your loved ones that previously, that's not normal for them, you need to watch for that. You need to watch and look out for your loved ones, because there are signs that you can watch for. And I didn't see any of that in these. And that's why I'm having such a hard time believing that these are suicides.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention the sexism from the police.
Yeah. She didn't reach out. She didn't, at least that we can tell. She didn't start giving away her shit.
She had plans for that night on the dinner.
Yeah.
And nights after, which I didn't bring up in here, but there were a couple other things coming up, her brother's birthday was the day after, and she was super family involved, so it totally doesn't make sense that she would off herself at these times, right, where it would be connected to her dad's birthday, her brother's birthday, these things they have to live with for the rest of their life. Why would she do that?
Especially when we were saying that she is very emotional about things, that she's very tied to.
Very sensitive.
Yeah, she's very sensitive to these things. Speaking from somebody who's like that, I would not want something so heavy to be tied to my loved ones' birthdays or special times in their lives, because I wouldn't want to damper that.
And she
wouldn't. I don't think she wouldn't have done that.
No. Yeah. Also, this just kind of pops up to my head because I had a conversation with a person the other day about cam girls, and she was a cisgendered woman as well, and she said that women who do that wonder why they get sexually abused or sexually assaulted or raped. And I stopped her right then and there, and I said, whoa, you cannot perpetuate that kind of rape culture here by me ever. I said, no, if I stood out here naked and was fondling myself or something, it doesn't matter. I don't fucking get touched without someone's consensual, without my consent. And I just wanted that to be put out there, because a lot of the time, these kind of situations in law enforcement, women are not taken seriously. And it was that easy for them to just rule it out, which even in a case I've seen close hand, that does not happen. This was an example of injustice. Even if it is ruled out, you do the fucking steps to get to that point at this point. You don't fucking pull strings, okay?
Well, and I just want to plug one more time, if you guys are any more interested in Phoebe's case, and you want to hear her family speak and those kinds of things, highly recommend checking out the podcast Phoebe's Fall. They do an in-depth coverage of this case, and I used a lot of that as my source material. It is done by a news agency in Melbourne, and it's very good. So highly recommend you check that out. If you haven't already, go follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Not a Boogeyman. If you have a case for us, email us. notamonsternotaboogeyman@gmail.com.
I love you guys. Check on your friends.
For real.
R.I.P. for these beautiful women who fucking didn't deserve this.
Yeah. And look out for an update soon, because the second we get that ruling, I will be talking about it.
We're
going to
be on it.
So come back next week. Naomi's got a fucked up case for you, and it's going to be awesome.
Hell
so
yeah.
Bye, guys.
Bye.